I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it." Amen. I have been looking on Wednesday evenings at those named individuals in Scripture about whom we know next to nothing. The bit parts, the people who just come on and they have a tiny part and then they disappear off again. If you went to a school and you were in the play, you may well have had such a part in that play. Not the main role, not the star, just somebody who is mentioned, comes on stage left and disappears the same way. Well, you may have guessed that the person I'd like to speak of this evening is Antipas from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. He is somebody about whom we know very little. The text here tells us little, but what it does tell us is very, very important. Presumably, he was a member of the church of Pergamos. There is a tradition that he was the leader of the church at Pergamos, but again, the text does not say that. What do we know about him? Well, we know he was a martyr. A martyr is somebody who loses their life for what they believe in. Specifically here, he died for his Christian faith. And we are regularly reminded at Salem Chapel, and quite rightly, that there are more martyrs in the last century, and probably in this one, than there have been in previous ones. In other words, martyrdom is not something which belonged to the ancient world. It's not something which was only bound up at the Reformation. It goes on today. Thank God, it does not go on in this country, but who knows what the future will hold. And Antipas was killed for his faith. We don't know the details about it. Was he killed by a mob? Or was it rather more orchestrated? The local governor, the local mayor, decided that they wanted to make an example of the leader of the strange sect in Pergamos. We don't know. All we know is that he died for his faith. And of course, in one respect, that is a dreadful tragedy. Martyrdoms are generally quite painful and they're quite embarrassing. It's not the good old, you know, falling asleep and not waking up. If tradition is anything to go by, and we don't know if it's true, they put him into a metallic object and roasted him to death. Again, a painful way to go if that is how it happened. And the Lord sometimes calls his people to die an unpleasant death. Others he doesn't. Others physically just fade away. Some people, from our point of view, die far too young. Others feel like they're living too long and they simply want to go home. Well, no Christian dies earlier or later than the Lord wants. We always die at the right time. And perhaps Antipas knew that. So he loved the Lord more than he loved his life. He also understood, I think, and I read earlier from another chapter of Revelation, that time towards the end, that where Antipas was going, the other side of that oven or that fire, was far much better than where he lived right then. I'm sure Pergamos had many attractive qualities about it. But compared to the new heavens and the new earth, compared to the throne room of heaven, it was but a rubbish dump. And Antipas, I think, understood that. However, the Lord calls him my faithful martyr. Some people die for causes which are not worth dying for. Some people die for causes which are not worth living for. Not so Antipas. I've preached it before and I repeat it now. But the greatest thing the Lord can say when before him one of his servants comes is, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't think he's primarily interested in how much you gave or how well you sang or how popular you were or how you memorized scripture. Faithfulness is a quality which the Lord particularly prizes. And Antipas here, rather wonderfully, is called my faithful martyr. The Lord goes on to say, who was killed among you? That rather indicates that the surviving members of that church were present when it happened. They witnessed it. They saw it. And he says where Satan dwells. Doubtless the prince of darkness, who had a particular influence in that town and in that region, thought it wonderful that a Christian leader should be taken out of this world. And yet the Lord allowed it. The Lord allowed it. Evidently, Antipas served as a very good example to those he left behind. The first part of the letter to Pergamos is commending them. He says in verse 13, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. Roman governors would often say to followers of Jesus Christ in the first century, deny the name, deny Jesus Christ, curse him, and then offer a sacrifice to the emperor or to one of our gods. And the pressure on them must have been great. All they do is say a few words and offer a sacrifice and they are left alone. It might be that Antipas was killed before them as a way of trying to persuade them to give in. What we've done to him, we will also do to you. And yet, they didn't give in. They remained faithful. It's as though Antipas was a wonderful role model for them, which months and years after his passing, they continued to remember. And if you're familiar with Fox's Book of Martyrs or other such publications, when you read of faithful believers going to the stake or to the block or to the gallows for the sake of Jesus Christ, it has a wonderful effect of bolstering your own faith and reminding you exactly how precious it is. It is worth dying for. And again, statistically, very few people in this room will be asked to die for it. But it's not only worth dying for, it's worth living for. It's worth living for. I read to the end of the message to the church of Pergamos, and you will have noticed that from verse 14, error is creeping into the church. It's not really clear what's going on. Those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam was a character in the book of Numbers. Ironically, God spoke to him, but he was a false prophet. Furthermore, we have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It would seem that the Nicolaitans were encouraging Christians to lower their moral standards when it came to sexuality. In one respect, the Nicolaitans died out years ago. In another respect, they're still around today. And they're still doing their evil work in the mainline denominations. It's a shame that, in one respect, Antipas wasn't still there to guard that church against the false teachers who would creep in after. His death, I think, inspired them to be faithful in light of persecution, but Satan, it would seem, found another way to darken their lamp. If persecution won't destroy that church, false teaching and immorality might do it. Again, I can't prove it from the text, but I get the impression that Antipas, who was known for his faithfulness, had God's good providence determined to spare him a little longer, he would have prevented it. So we must be faithful to the Lord and to the gospel. In the public arena, when those in authority at local government or central government begin to dislike evangelical Christianity, but we must also be faithful when it comes to our doctrine. Let's stick to the Bible and also our morality. The Lord, despite commending this church, tells them in the 16th verse, "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." The Lord will not have a compromised church. He'd rather there be no church than a fake church. He'd rather spew them out of his mouth if they be lukewarm. He will extinguish that lamp if gospel light it does not present. So let's also be inspired by faithful Antipas, a man about whom we know next to nothing, apart from the fact he died for the Lord, he was faithful for the Lord, and even after his death, I think he continued to inspire the people of God. They weren't always wise enough to heed all of his example, but may we be faithful to the gospel, to truth, and to biblical morality, even if the Pergamos in which we live discourages it and despises it. Amen.